Message today, help us to hear your voice. Help me to speak clearly and speak your word. Guide us and guide our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start out with giving kind of my outline. That way, if I get lost, at least you'll have the main point. The main point of this is God values family. So I was preparing and planning on talking about Christmas story. And so the last month or so with Leland, we've been reading through it, mainly in Matthew, but also in Luke. And one of the main points that stands out to me after reading the story over and over again is that God values family. If he didn't value family, he wouldn't have sent his son to the earth as a son in a family. One of the things, I keep listening to the radio or looking at the world wants to redefine what a family is. The world wants to tell you family doesn't matter, your career matters. But God values family, and he values the family structure as laid out in Scripture. So that's the main point of the talk, if you miss nothing else. Sub-points, we're going to talk about Joseph, and that shows that God values men as husbands and fathers. And then we're going to talk about Mary. God values women as wives and mothers. And then we're going to talk about Jesus and John. They're both children at this point in the story. And God values children. And then at the end of the Christmas story, we hear about Simeon and Anna, like Andrew was talking about. God values old men and old women. He made the family structure from prior to conception till natural death, and God values the human life in general. And he has a plan for us. So God chose to save the world as a son with a mother and an earthly father. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read the first verse and then skip down to verse 17 and read through verse 25. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. So the portion I skipped is just all of those names and the generations. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. So first we're going to look at Joseph. And in seeing Joseph, we see that God values men, husbands, and fathers. God didn't need Joseph to give birth to Jesus, and you can tell that in the scriptures. God valued his relationship with Mary. God specifically spoke to Joseph to preserve his marriage to Mary. So God, like, if we believed the world standard as far as what men are important or value of family, God could have just said, well, all I need is Mary. I don't need Joseph to bring forth my son. I could have, you know, why didn't God the Father be the perfect husband and father for Mary instead of keeping Joseph in the picture? If God didn't value family. So Matthew 1:19 through 20, we just read, I'm going to read again. Her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly, because his assumption is she's been unfaithful. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So God specifically spoke to Joseph to preserve their marriage. He didn't say, well, Joseph isn't an important part in this story. God said Joseph was important. And then we see how Joseph is important in Matthew verse 21. God told Joseph to name Jesus. God used Joseph in that way. He says, she will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Which I think being able to name the Son of God is a huge blessing. Like, just to think about the details of what actually happened. I kind of realized I would just kind of hear the Christmas story each year, but reading it over this year has been kind of more fun for me. And then God used Joseph to keep Jesus safe and alive as a baby or a child. It's Matthew 2, verse 13 through 15. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. This happened so that what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. I tended to read through or hear, you know, Joseph had a dream and so they moved here or there, or Joseph was afraid and then he had a dream and God warned him to move. But I was realizing it says he got up in the middle of the night. So it wasn't like, oh, God said something and he waited until it was convenient to go. They got up and left in the dark, in the middle of night, and to obey the Lord. So he took his son and his wife, and they traveled to a place that was safe. But God chose to speak to Joseph multiple times in order to keep his son alive. God also used Joseph, or spoke to Joseph, to lead Mary and Jesus to particular locations so that they would fulfill Old Testament prophecies, because there's multiple ones that talk about where the Messiah was going to come from. So Matthew 2:19 through 23. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. This was kind of a verse I was thinking about earlier, because first he has the fear, but then read on, he says, that after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and settled in a city called Nazareth. This happened so that what was spoken through the prophets would be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. I just think it's interesting to pay attention how God speaks to people in the Bible. And Joseph is one who we're told he had a fear, but that fear led to a dream that God spoke to him through. Joseph also, when he was concerned about Mary and pondered, you know, what to do with her because he thought she wasn't faithful, God spoke to her after that. It was because he took time to pause or to contemplate something, God was able to speak to him. So Joseph was a righteous man, we're told in Matthew 1:19. Now, what about his acts here are righteous? I think it's because... Well, maybe I should read the verse over again to give context. Matthew 1:19. I'll back up to 18. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. It says, since he was a righteous man, he planned to do it secretly. I think we tend to sometimes have the sense of, you know, righteousness. Like we'll talk about someone else's sins because we want to talk about what's righteous or what, you know, how we're better than them. Or, but we're told that Joseph's attitude was right in that he didn't want to make her a public spectacle because she failed in this area. At least in his mind at that point, she had failed. I had a cross reference, another verse. Proverbs 3, verse 3 says, Do not let kindness or mercy and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I think a righteous person has a balance of mercy and truth. They love what's right, but they seek to see somebody forgiven or healed. So in the context that Joseph was at, he thought, well, I can't marry her if she's not faithful, but I don't want to make her a public spectacle so the rest of her life is ruined, or so that she gets shame that's beyond what she deserves. He sought mercy as well as justice at that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other sacrifice, one of the large sacrifices, I'm not familiar with betrothal or the, like, I'd love to do a more in-depth study of what their culture was like, but we're told that Mary and Joseph were betrothed, which is essentially considered married, but they weren't living together. So when he was going to separate from her, it would have been in their culture, considered a literal divorce. It wasn't just, oh, I'm engaged, and now the wedding ring's no, or engagement ring's no longer on her finger. It was already married. But then to keep Mary for 9 months as a betrothed wife and not be with her was a sacrifice. He had to have discipline and integrity to be able to do that. So now we're going to move to Mary and Elizabeth, actually. God values women, wives, and mothers. Elizabeth is given joy of a child in her old age. God could have chosen someone who was younger and able to have kids. He didn't have to choose someone like Elizabeth, but he values women. We're told that Elizabeth and his wife, and Elizabeth and her husband were both praying, and they had wanted children and desired them, but they never received them because Elizabeth was barren. Luke 1, verse 24 through 25. Now, after these days, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among people." And Luke 1:57 through 58. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his grace, his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. So God gave Elizabeth joy and valued her, and she was able to be joyful with John, her son, in her old age. And then with Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to tell of his plan and let Mary choose to be a part of it. I suppose God could have made a body without using Mary, but God values family. He values the way a mom cares for a child, so much that he had his son raised by a woman, a mom, and a wife. Luke 1:26-38. Got a lot of passages to read. I don't tend to... I get distracted if I read too many passages, but I feel like it's hard to tell the Christmas story without reading the story itself. Now, in the sixth month, so Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month for Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, also, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called infertile, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So we see that Mary willingly offered herself to serve the Lord. And we see that God valued Mary in speaking to her and talking about his plan of redemption and salvation through a child. So God values women. And then we're going to move on to God values children. We're looking at Jesus and John. John was sent to turn dads' hearts towards their kids. God had a plan for John before he was conceived. He has a plan for each of us and each of our kids. Read Luke 1:13-17. So this is the angel talking to Zechariah. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice over his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So here we're told before John is even conceived that God has a plan for him, that he is going to have a huge part in turning and preparing for the Messiah, and he's going to be turning people's hearts, fathers' hearts towards their children, and children's hearts toward their father. And I liked the phrase in this translation. It talks about the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. There's a disposition that a righteous person should have, that God, when he lives inside of you, does bear fruit in you. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So God values children. He has a plan before they are born, before they're even conceived. God knows, and he values that. I had a kind of a practical illustration that from this past week, Friday morning. I think it was around 4 o'clock. Obed was awake. I think it was cold in his room, and he thought it was too cold to sleep, so he was going to be up. And so we tried quieting him and warming him up. I turned the thermostat up some, and of course that doesn't make it hot quick enough for a baby to decide to go back to bed. So I tried snuggling him for a little while and put him back down. He didn't have any part in that. So then I was like, well, I'll see if he'll snuggle with me in our bed. So I go and lay down. He's on my chest, and he falls asleep. And I was like, well, at least he's not screaming anymore. So I eventually fell asleep too, and my arm did as well. And we were tired that day, but realized throughout the course of the day that even though that was not necessarily where I would have put myself, if he hadn't screamed, I would have let him sleep in his crib. That was still a highlight of my day, like having him close on my chest when we're tired and that he was sleeping there. I think that it's hard when parents are tired and stressed to always enjoy the snuggles, but when you have a child that finally quiets himself and relaxes with you, it softens your heart. I think letting the Holy Spirit work in your heart and make you tender towards your child and the little ones that you're around is good. It's a lot of work, and it's not always at the hours that we want to be working, especially when they're sick, but I think it's good to be able to be thankful and enjoy the closeness that that you can with a child. So then, looking at Jesus, he was born as a baby, raised as a child, was subject to his parents, as any other child should be. I have another series of scriptures, Luke 2, 1 through 7. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all the people were on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So we see that God values children enough to be born as a child, and not into a rich family, not into the king's palace, but as a poor child in a manger, laying in hay. But with a loving mom and a loving dad. Luke 2, verse 39 and 40. And when his parents had completed everything in accordance with the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. Now the child continued to grow and to become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. His parents... Where did I say? That was where I was supposed to stop. So we're told he grew and he became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And I guess we'll move to Luke 2, 41 through 52. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days required, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Instead, they thought that he was somewhere in the caravan. and they went a day's journey. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When Joseph and Mary saw him, they were bewildered, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And yet they, on their part, did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued to be subject to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. So Jesus experienced childhood and teenage just like anyone else. He grew, and as he did, we're told he grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and people, which seems hard to understand how the God of the universe can dwell in a man and grow as a boy or a son or a child and be subject to imperfect parents. But that's how God chose. They were obviously caring parents because they were anxious about this child that they were missing, that they'd heard prophecies about and they valued and wanted to protect, but then they had lost. But So Simeon, or the last two, what's that? Yeah. So we're going to look briefly at Simeon. And it's God values old men. God spoke to Simeon personally of the coming of Jesus and blessed him with a part in the story. Luke 2:25-35. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and as a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." So God values old men. I think the world wants old men. Like, there's a huge range of opinions and views and perspectives of old people in the world right now. But scripturally, God values old men. He wants us to be active and spiritually aware, regardless of our age, but especially as we're older and have more time to devote to prayer and to fasting and God's word. He expects us to be like Simeon. He has a purpose and a plan from prior to conception, certainly as a child, and definitely as old people as well. God doesn't ever not have a plan for your life. And the ultimate purpose of every life is that we would end with Christ for all eternity and be a part of the family of God. So we're also showed that God values old women, because right after Simeon, Anna comes into the story, Luke 2:36-38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, and she lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She did not leave the temple grounds, serving night and day with fasts and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak about him to all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, or redemption of Jerusalem. So these are two old people that were so focused on the Lord that they could recognize the Messiah as a baby in a young couple's arms. And I think God wants us, as we grow and as we get old, to be so focused on the Lord that we can recognize him and when he's working in the lives of the young people around us. He doesn't want us to just disengage and stand back and say, oh, this is a horrible culture. He wants us to be spiritually aware and ready and able to speak like Simeon and Anna did in a way that is impactful and will change the world. So in conclusion, God values family. He values the way a mom cares for a child, the way a father provides for his wife and children and protects them. He values the life of a child enough to have lived as a baby, a toddler, a child. He values the old men and women who, like Simeon and Anna, remained faithful to God, hoping on his promises till the end. From before conception until after natural death, God has a plan for you. It's not that you be in the family. It's that you would be in the family of God. I'm going to close with reading John 1, 12 through 14. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have a plan for us to be your sons and your daughters. And because you desire us to be as your sons and daughters in all eternity, you have set us in strong family structures here and set a high standard for what a family should be. I thank you that you love us enough to give us families and to make them important. In Jesus' name, amen.